would like to share a little bit about a very well-known parable, the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. So if you have your Bible and you want to take a moment to turn to it, go ahead. Many of you know this scripture very well, but I feel like it's an important... There are important principles for us here. The kingdom of God is like a person, a man, a woman, about to go on a journey. Well, this is the king going on a journey. And he called to his own the slaves. This is the man, the woman, you and I. This is about a wealthy man about to go on a journey. He called his own slaves, his servants, and he entrusted. I find this a very important word in the scripture, the word entrusted. How many of you have trusted friends? How many of you have trusted family members? How many of you have people in your life you trust? How many of you like when you can trust somebody with something? How many of you had your trust broken? You asked somebody to do something, you trusted them, they failed. We all know what that feels like. We also know what it feels like to trust somebody with something and then they carry it out, and how secure we feel because we can trust them. He called his own. Understand this, who's the king is speaking about his own. And he entrusted things to them. Can I say to you that the Lord has entrusted things to you? This is a very special thing. It's a very important thing that God, it's an important thing for you to understand about life on earth, in the battle, in the rigors, in the challenges, in the opportunities, in our relationships, because these give us a perspective on life. They give us a perspective on what are we doing and why are we doing it and who are we doing it with. A perspective on who can you trust, a perspective on being trustworthy. He called to his own and entrusted his possessions to them. You understand that everything you have, you've received from God, he has entrusted it to you. Nothing that we have is our own. The life you were given, he's entrusted that to you. The family he's given, he's entrusted it to you. The children he's given you, he's entrusted it to you. The gifts that you have, the finances you have, everything is a gift from God. All of life. The body you have is a gift from God. The air you breathe is a gift from God. The mind that you have is a gift from God. The planet we live on, the food we eat, everything is a gift from God. We didn't create any of it. We use it. That's a good place to say amen. Yeah, it's the truth. We use it. Because it's a gift. We think we own things. How many of you have realized how quickly things can be taken from you? In a moment. You think you own it, you don't own it. It's entrusted to you. This is really important to understand. Because if I begin to recognize that everything has been entrusted to me, I'm going to look at it differently. I'm going to ask different kinds of questions. What am I doing with my time? What am I doing with my energy? What am I doing with my relationships? What am I doing with everything? Because this has been entrusted to me for a reason. Understand that. This has been entrusted to you for a reason. And to one he gave 5 talents, a sum of money, representing life. It's not just a financial amount. It is representative of everything. The parable is, as you know, you've studied parables, you have to unpack them because things mean other things. He gave to one 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Watch this. Each according to his own ability. This is a liberating statement because it takes envy and jealousy and looking at other people completely out of your life. So many of us get stumbled and the enemy takes advantage of us because we look at other people. We look at what they have, or we look at whatever that creates envy or jealousy. Can I tell you that envy and jealousy have no place in the heart of a disciple of the kingdom of God? It's a trap and trick of the enemy to get your eyes off of what has been entrusted to you, because you're busy looking at what has been entrusted to others. When the Lord first began to open this to me, I had kind of an inner vision of the body of all of us people, and the Lord called us to a banqueting table, and you were escorted in. This was the vision, the picture that I had. We were escorted to this huge banqueting hall, and everybody had a place assigned to them because your name was at that seat. And you were sitting with your name tag. And in front of you was a box. And everybody had a box in front of them. Different sizes and different shapes. And everybody was sitting there. And everybody's looking around. How big was your box? Your box is really big. Your box is really small. Whatever. And everybody's looking at everybody else's box. Then the king stood up and said to everybody, now open your box. And there were people who didn't in this picture, this vision that unfolded. People didn't open their box. They were busy looking at other people and what was in their box. Making ooh and ah and whatever. But their box remained unopened. And the Lord began to show me that there's only one box in your life that's significant and important. That's the box Jesus has assigned to you. Open it. And the size of the box meant nothing. The contents of the box meant everything. And the Lord said to me, if you busy yourself digging in to the contents of what I've given you, you won't have any time or concern about what anybody else is doing with the contents of their box. You will encourage them, dig into your box. What are you busy yourself looking what someone else is doing? What are you doing with the gifts that have been entrusted to you? What are you doing with the box and what's inside the box? And inside the other box, because they're divine gifts, they grow, they expand. You think you might have a little gift, but you open it up, and as soon as it hits the air, it just explodes. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, just it takes on a whole other life because you are walking in faith and obedience to what the Lord has given you, not despising the day of small things, not despising the gift, not thinking demonically inspired thoughts. Oh, God ripped me off. God didn't give me as much as someone else. God didn't give me a good gift. God is not good. Look at this. He got more than me, and she got more than me, and they got more than me. And you're missing all that is potentially yours because your eye is not on the prize. Your eye is not on the gifts, plural, talents, gifts that God has given you. And so many of us make this fatal error, and we never discover who we really are because we're never opening that which has been given to you and assigned with your name on it. Satan loves to get our eyes off the prize. He loves to get our eyes off of the Lord and onto other things. Anything that can get your attention. You know how con men and sleight of hand artists, they're always creating some kind of a deception. Don't look there. Look here, don't look there. And the enemy is always good at distracting us. The Bible talks about fixing your eye on Jesus, looking to the author and the completer of your spiritual faith. And we need to focus our eyes and help one another be looking at the right place. This is part of maintaining that sacred space relationship, is not letting anybody look any other place, but look to the Lord and look to the gifts, plural, that God has put inside of each one of us. He's entrusted to you and I possessions. This is really important to the Lord. As you know the parable and as it unfolds, when we're all asked to give an account, it's really, really important to him what you do with what he's entrusted to you. Were you faithful with what he entrusted to you? Because he's testing as to how much he can trust you with his real riches. Because what you do with what he's given you in this life will determine what you get in the next. That's what these parables are teaching. The kingdom of God is like this. Gave to one 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1. Each according to his own ability. Do you understand that God knows you better than you know yourself? So he gives you gifts according to how he created you. The way your mind works, the way your personality works, the way how you're constructed on every level of your humanity. And he gives you a gift according to that. He knows you better than you know yourself. You would think, I can't do that, and I can't do that, and I'm not this, and I'm not that. And the Lord, have you ever had Jesus laugh at you? He laughs. He says, you have no idea what you're talking about. Shut up. Has he ever said that to you? He has said that to me. You don't know what you're talking about. Be quiet. Listen. But Lord, how many of you have said this to him? But Lord, you don't understand. I'm sure I'm taking that little giggle as a few people who are saying amen. I've said that. God, let me explain. Perhaps you've been busy. And so let me fill you in. I'm not that kind of person. Some of you have been following our ministry. You know this story, but I feel to share it again tonight. When the Lord was calling me into ministry, which I thought was a big mistake. How many of you have ever said to God, I know you've never made a mistake before. I get that. But you're making one now. There's a couple of honest people here. Like when he was calling me and I said, I said that and other stupid things. Have you ever said stupid things to God? If you're not saying yes, you're lying. I have to change the whole message. Because God was calling me and I was arguing with him, telling him why he was wrong and why he was making a mistake and how he, and one of my arguments, oh Lord, you must want someone else to do this, though, so you're asking me. Then he said to me, don't insult me. If I wanted someone else to be here, they'd be here. Shut up. Do you think I shut up? No, because what he was calling me to do was so out of my understanding of myself that I couldn't conceive myself doing it. So there's a disconnect somewhere. So I thought I knew myself and God was wrong. How many of you have ever had that thought process? This was the time, some of you will remember this, when the first Godfather movie came out. And there was a famous line in the Godfather movie where the Godfather would say, make him an offer he can't refuse. So I was dealing with God the Father. And I had gone through all of these different arguments. And then one day he stopped me. I remember this so clearly. I was being called to come into being a leader in this little fellowship of Jewish believers, being called into ministry, being called to take on eldership responsibility. And the Lord said to me, it will be better for you on the day of judgment to become an elder and fail than not to become an elder at all. That was the offer I couldn't refuse. And I remember I was walking down this avenue in Brooklyn where I was living, and I stopped because I liked the energy, and I was leaning against the wall, and I said, okay, I'll do it. And he said, good. And I went back to the fellowship because the people knew I was struggling with, and I said, okay, I'll do it. You're deceived, I'm deceived, God's deceived. You know, that was the level that I was at. I will do it. I will become an elder. I'll take on that responsibility. And they all started cheering. And I thought, you're all mad. Mad and deceived. But God was beginning to unfold for me a revelation of myself that I didn't know I had. Let me say that to you because it's not just about me. This is how God works with all of us. He will begin a process of revealing to you who you really are. The gift that he put in front of you, following that picture of the banquet, that begins to open up. And you see things, God calls you, opportunities are given, challenges are presented, because you begin to grow into who God really sees, who you really are, not what the world, the flesh, the devil, and your own foolishness have told you and lied to you that you are. And you live according to those lies. Well, I'm not this and I'm not that, and I can't do this and I can't do that, and I can only do this and I can only do this because that's who I am. You know, I'm a timid person, I'm a shy person, or I'm this kind of person, or I'm that kind of person, and I can't be anything else because that's who I am. And so I won't go there, and I won't do that, and I can't do that. And all of these wrong definitions of ourselves define us, control us, and the Lord comes and says, I know who you really are. And you pray the most dangerous prayer you can pray. Do you know what the most dangerous prayer you can pray is? And you've all prayed it more than once. You ready? Thy will be done, and thy kingdom come. And guess what? When you prayed it, God believed you meant it. And then stuff. How many of you discovered that when you prayed that prayer, all hell broke loose in your life? You thought it was the prayer of great blessings, and it began to be the prayer of great challenges. How many of you had that experience? Guess what? If you haven't, you will. Here's good news for you. If you really want to be a disciple of the kingdom of God and be trained to do God's will, he'll change the definition of yourself because he knows who you really are, and he's defining you according to who you are in Christ, who you are in the Spirit, who you are in God, who you are in the kingdom of God. The next thing I know is these folks wanted me to teach a Bible study. It wasn't enough that I had to take on, you know, these governmental responsibilities. Now they wanted me to teach a Bible study. I thought, we've gone from bad to worse. We got a little fill in the blank. How simple could this be, right? A fill in the blank Bible study. It was Derek Prince's Bible Studies for a Firm Foundation, had a yellow cover on it. Some of you might remember. Some of you know this story. The first night that I was going to teach out of this Bible study, I was working in a paint store. I was going to university to get a master's degree in counseling. And I remember so clearly walking from the subway to this home, and my anxiety level was through the roof. My mouth was dry, my knees were shaking, my stomach was going every which way, my blood pressure was high. If there were demons in the neighborhood, they were all over me, and they were. And all the negative thoughts, I was going to make a fool of myself, you know, I couldn't think straight. I was just full of fear and anxiety and unbelief and like, you know, God, this, okay, God, I'll do it. It'll be a disaster, and then you'll be convinced that this was a big mistake, okay? But I did it, right? And I remember I walked to this home on Coleman Street, and a lovely woman of God named Winifred Sheridan, she's with the Lord now. I remember walking down the side of the house. The entrance to the house was on the side. I walked. I opened the door. And the instant I crossed the threshold and the door closed behind me, all of the anxiety, the fear, the worry, all of it just simply evaporated. It was gone. And this peace and joy filled me because I had made the final step. I went into the house. And then there were a few steps up in the kitchen, and Winnie was there to greet me. And she said, "Hi, Howie, how are you?" And I remember thinking, about 1 second ago, I was really bad. But right now, I'm really good, and I'm amazed. I said, I'm good. She said, "Oh, we're so excited that you're here." And I said, "Oh, God, have mercy on all of us." And there's about 35 or 40 people. And I sat down with everybody. We prayed and opened up the Bible and opened up. And then something happened that I had never experienced before. And I wasn't anticipating. This flow started to come out of me. Flow of understanding of the scripture. Flow of understanding about things about God. And I remember thinking, man, I hope I can remember this is really good. It was about only a 35 or 45 minute Bible study. And it was really a good study. And I remember going to the bathroom and going, "Phew, thank you, Lord, you got me through this." And to come back next week because it was, you know, a weekly study. Same thing the next week. Anxiety and worry and fear, because I thought that what happened last week was a fluke. It was one off, you know. God was being merciful and kind to me because I was trying to be obedient. So I, you know, he blessed me. Next week, same thing happened. This flow opened up. People are sitting at the edge of the seat. They're paying attention. They're not being distracted. And I'm listening to these things come up as God is opening the scriptures. As I'm reading it, things are popping, things I never knew before. They're just coming by revelation. And I remember thinking, man, I got to start writing this stuff down. Went to the bathroom, thank God again. But he got me through it. This is my mentality. You understand that? Because my definition of myself did not include any of this. I wasn't looking to be in front of people. I didn't need to be in front of people. It was like I didn't see myself as a teacher or a preacher or anything like that. It was completely outside of my definition of myself. But he challenged me. He was entrusting something to me, and I was saying, yes, I'm going to do it, because my heart was to obey. I had to wrestle through all of my arguments with him. I'm not, I can't, this is a mistake, you know. And then he gave me the deal I couldn't refuse. Okay, I'll do it. If it'll be better for me on the day of judgment, I'll do it. All right, you happy, you happy, you happy? I'm going to do it. Yes, I'm happy now. Do it. The third week, the same thing happened. Now I realized it wasn't a one-off and it wasn't a fluke. Something was happening here. Again, went to the bathroom. How many of you have had famous bathroom prayers? You know, there's the ceramic altar waiting right there for you. Many prayers I prayed against that altar. Hallelujah. And I went to the bathroom again and said, okay, Lord. Once a fluke, twice maybe, but not three times. And then he began to speak to me about a prophetic teaching gift that he was entrusting to me. And he said to me of this prophetic teaching gift, he said to me this. He said, it will always be there and it will never fail. And I went like, whoa. This was 1976. And I want you to know from that moment to this moment, it has always been there. It has never failed. And I have probably over 2,500 recorded messages. And there were many more that we never recorded because we didn't know what to do. And in all of those messages and the people who've received from our teaching gift is because I said yes, and that has always been there. It has never failed. In countries and places and churches, small groups, large groups, didn't matter. It was always there and it never failed. God had entrusted it to me. Now hear me say this to you because it's really important. I am nobody different than you. I'm just a guy that said yes to what was in front of me. I opened it up and here was this calling. There's a group of people say, we want you to be a leader and we want you to teach your Bible study. And I was a guy that said, yes, okay, I'm going to go to that house, Lord, and I'm going to die. I'm going to die of humiliation. I'm going to die of embarrassment. I'm going to open the Bible. My brain is not going to work. I'm not going to know what to say. Anything I've learned about the scripture is going to disappear. I'll be embarrassed. They'll say, well, Howie, maybe you really shouldn't do this. And I'll say, what a really good idea. Let's get somebody else to do it. I won't have to do it anymore. They'll do it. And we'll be done with all of this. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you had that kind of dynamic in your head? I figured that's what was going to happen. Who was the most surprised one when this thing started to flow? I was. And then they were. One guy who had come to the Bible study, he was a new believer, came out of AA and a very rough life, a rough, tough character, very jaded, you know, a new believer, very cynical. He came up to me, I think it was at the second or the third Bible study, or maybe one of the future ones, I can't remember exactly. And he said to me, do you know why I come to these Bible studies? I said, no, and I was thinking, I hardly know why I come. That's what I was thinking when he was saying this to me. He said, do you know why I come to these Bible studies? I said, no, why do you come to these Bible studies? He said these words, I'll never forget them. He said, because you're teaching things you can't possibly know. And I said, that's exactly right. I'm listening to it as it comes out of my own mouth. And the ministry, that was the beginning of our teaching ministry. God was entrusting something to me. And watch this. He gave in the parable. He gave each one according to his ability. I didn't know I had that ability. I suspect that you have abilities that you don't know you have. And they'll stay buried unless you're willing to do what I was willing to do, what other people are willing to do, and what the parable teaches us. Immediately the one, verse 16, Matthew 25, verse 16, immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them. He did something with his gifting. I did something with the gifting. I went and walked against my fear, walked against the tide, did not let the anxiety, did not let the nervousness, did not let the nausea, did not let all of the emotional turmoil stop me, because it could have been really easy to stop me. I can't do this. I feel like I'm going to die. I feel like I'm going to pass out. I can't do it. I'm going home. I'll call up and cancel. I'll make an excuse. I didn't do that. I went to the traders, I traded with it. I took my gifting and I brought it out into the world. Didn't even know I had a gifting yet. I just brought it and said, okay, I'll do it, Lord. I'll obey, I'll do it. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them. He did business with them. He said, okay, Lord, I've got this these gifts, what do you want me to do with it? And he'll show you what to do. Because he knows who you are better than you know who you are. This is so important for you to understand. Because we get stuck in the wrong definition of ourselves. We get stuck in the definition that other people have put on us. You're not this and you're not that. And you can't do this and you can't do that. And it defines us, but it's the wrong self. We need to put on the new self that's being renewed after the image of the one who created us, because he's put his image in you and says, my image in you says, these are the gifts in you and you can do that. So come on, let's go to the traders and let's do it. Let's go to the marketplace. Let's go to the Bible study. Let's go to work. Let's go to school. Let's do whatever he calls you to do. Take your gift out and use it. Take what he's telling you to do and do it. No excuses. Let me tell you something about God. He hates excuses. You go further on in the parable, there's a serious punishment for those who make excuses. And we're great at making excuses. We're great at justifying. We're great at excusing. We're great at blaming others. We're great at saying, well, I can't because I'm not that. I'm not a bold person. I'm not a musical person. I'm not an artistic person. I can't teach. I can't, argue. I can't debate. I don't know what the excuses are. We all got them and we make them. He went to the marketplace, he traded, and he gained five more. In the same manner, the one who had received two talents gained two more. But he who had received the one talent, watch this, went away and dug in the ground and hid the master's talent. How many people are burying their talents? How many people are stuck in the I can't and I'm not and I'm afraid and I'm ashamed and I'll be hurt and I'll be embarrassed and I'll be humiliated and I'll fail or God won't do it and I can't, I'm not, I won't, I'll just go ahead and hide somewhere. Then I stop going to church, I stop worshiping, the darkness comes over my soul because I'm living in rebellion and in disobedience. Shifting the blame, somebody else's fault, I'm not, I can't. Making justifications and excuses. He buried his talent. He was believing the wrong things and acting, therefore, on his unbelief and getting the wrong result. If you act in faith, you will get the right result. Will it be easy? No. It wasn't easy for me. It's never been easy. Can we please take the word easy out of our vocabulary? We're called to overcome. In order to be an overcomer, there are things you have to overcome. Obstacles, difficulty, challenges, people, their words, their thoughts, their attitudes, and etc., etc. Now, a long time coming, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts. How many of you understand that Jesus has an account to settle with you? Well, if you don't understand it, here is the scripture warning us. Each of us are going to stand before the Lord one day and settle accounts. And he's going to say to you, what did you do with what I trusted? And none of us are going to be able to say, well, I didn't know you trusted me with anything. Because he'll show you the day when he showed it to you and the challenge he gave you. And over and over and over again. You've gone to a church meeting. You hadn't been there for a while. And the pastor or the minister or whoever is speaking delivers a message, and it's right at that point in your life bringing that same message to you. Or a guy is going to, you show up and the guy says, I was going to speak about this, but the Holy Spirit is telling me I have to speak about this. And for some reason, they're constantly turning in your direction. How many of you had that experience? It's like you're the only one there. You, Jesus, and this preacher who you want to say, shut up already. You're getting more and more uncomfortable because the Lord is pointing at the gift that he's given you. That's which he entrusted to you that he wants you to use. A The master came and settled accounts. There is a day of the settling of accounts. I don't know about you, but that puts the fear of God into my heart. When I stand before the Lord, I want him to be smiling at me. I tell people, when you stand before the Lord, if he's not smiling, it's not good. The one who had received, verse 20, the one who had received the 5 talents came up and bought 5 more. Master, you entrusted me with 5 talents. Look, I gained 5 more. I went to the traders. I trusted you that whatever I was going to do, you were going to multiply it. You were going to bless it. You don't know how you were going to do it or whatever. You just obeyed. Whatever he's telling you to do, do it. Obey. Because it will multiply. So if you pray a prayer, Lord, I want to do your will. Show me what my gifts are. And he begins to stir things in you. Opportunities are given to you. Go and do it. And you'll see as you do that, more things are added to it. And more things are added to it. Believe me, when I started on that evening, going to that Bible study, the last thing in the world I would have thought of is that I would ever have an international teaching ministry and been speaking thousands of times in the nations of the world. If you had said that to me and prophesied, I'd think you were out of your mind. You have no idea what you're talking about. That's a prophecy that must have been, you got the wrong address. You know, that was for somebody else. Like that guy, he's really smart. Or he's really anointed. Or she's really smart. Or she's really anointed. It must be for them. And then the Lord points and says, no, I'm talking to you. Master, you entrusted me with 5, I brought you more. And his master said these amazing words. I love these words. Well done. Well done. You were faithful. You were obedient. You didn't give up. You didn't go back. You didn't let other people's words define you. You didn't let your flesh define you. You didn't let the devil define you. You let my words define you. You obeyed me and I blessed you. You took your talent to the market. And what I showed you to do with it, you did it, and it multiplied. And then you did it again, and it multiplied. And you did it again, and it multiplied, and 5 became 10. Just like I knew it would if you did what I told you to do. Because I knew inside of you was double that, or triple that, or quadruple that. Because he knows who you are better than you know who you are. He knows who you really are. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. Now I will put you in charge of many things. I have no idea what that really looks like, but it sounds really good to me. I will put you in charge of many things. Like that is to me one of the most awesome whoa moments that any of us could ever imagine. Jesus wants to share his kingdom with you. Not only does he want to share it with you, he wants to give you a place of authority in it. I will put you in charge. I will give you an authority in my kingdom. This is his heart. God put man on the earth, Adam and Eve. You remember the story, be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the earth. I'm giving you authority over the earth. Well, he wants to give us authority in his kingdom, in eternal realms, whatever that really looks like. Just think, you being faithful and obedient in what God gives you in this earth means that he will trust you with those things in eternity because he could trust you now. You said yes and you did it. You didn't let your thoughts or your feelings or your fears or your anxiety or your worry or your doubt or your concern, what other people would say or what other people would think about how you would feel. You didn't let any of those things define you. The only thing that would define you is your obedience. Yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. If I die, I die, like beautiful Queen Esther said on that great day when she was challenged to go before the king uninvited. She said, if I die, I die, I'm going in. That was the dynamic that was happening to me as I walked to that Bible study. I thought I was going to die of embarrassment and humiliation. Okay, Lord, you want me to do this? I'm going to do it. And then it'll be done because I'll be dead. That was the thinking. But I didn't let it stop me. What is stopping you if you're being stopped tonight? Don't let it stop you anymore. Make a decision that says, you know what? I'm not going to let my flesh determine my destiny. I'm not going to let other voices determine my destiny. I'm not going to let my fear, my worry, my anxiety, or anything else determine my destiny. If God has entrusted me with things, I am going to faithfully take them to the traders. I'm going to faithfully obey. I'm going to faithfully do what God has called me to do, because on the great day, I want him to smile at me and say, well done. I gave you these gifts, and look at what you're returning to me. Because on the great day, I'm going to be able to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, here are all these thousands of recordings, and all the people that heard those recordings, and all the testimonies we received from people who've sat under the ministry and heard the messages and listened to the CDs and listened to the cassettes and the MP3s and wherever they've gone and duplicated and be sent, and people that I don't even know. All of those things came out of that one seed planted that night that I said yes to and had no idea what the future would be. And I'm nobody special. Please don't think, oh, you're special, you're anointed. No, I'm just a guy that said yes. That's when the anointing came. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Don't make it about me. It's you and the gift in you, because the same Christ who dwells in me dwells in you. And all he's looking for is a guy that'll say, okay, Lord, I die, so what? I'm going in. I'm not letting anybody's words determine my destiny. I'm not letting my parents or my siblings or my teacher or my aunts or anybody stop me. You put this gift in me, you've told me to do this, I'm going to do it. Come what may, I'm going to do it, because on the great day, I want you to find me trustworthy, just like you need people that you can trust. And then when you find people that you can't trust, how disheartening that is. And how wonderful it is when you can trust people. Same thing with God in us. God is blessed when he can trust you, because, and then he wants to reward you. Imagine this. He is looking for people to reward. I want to share my kingdom with you. I want to be able to trust you with my eternal authority, my eternal possession. And the one who had received the two, Master, you gave me two talents. So the guy with two doesn't compare himself to the guy with five. He's trying to be faithful with his two. It takes him all of his ability to be faithful to the two that he's got. And he's not spending any time looking at the guy with five. He's blessed that he's being faithful, but that's all. He said, Lord, I can't spend any time looking at what they're doing or they're doing or they're doing. I got these things in me. I got to spend my time being faithful for what you're trusted me with. And if you're faithful with what God has trusted you, you won't have any time or energy to be worried or thinking about what other people are doing. Because your gifting will demand all of your attention to take that to the traders. For us, it was learning about recording. Then it was learning about duplicating. Then the whole thing that went in with duplicating, because we were taking it to the traders. How do we get the message out? Having my girls help me. My middle daughter, Melanie, was the most administratively minded. Still is. She's a stage manager, so she runs Broadway productions. As a little girl, she had the administrator, so she just set up all these duplicators and all these tapes and all these things. She says, Daddy, just leave me alone. I'll get it done. And she would set these things up. I got this one going and this one this one being recorded and this one having the covers, you know, the labels put on it and then the covers, so it was ready to go to the next meeting. Because selling it was one of the ways we provided funds for the ministry in our home, but it was also a way of getting these messages. So the message had another life and another life and another life. And they still are alive. And they're still touching people. And the Lord knew that. I didn't know it. He knew what was inside that seed for us. What's in the side, the seed for you? I don't know. Do you know? Well, you'll find out. The only way to find out is go to the traders. The only way to find out is start to do it. Whatever he tells you, do it. The famous last recorded words of Mary, the mother of Jesus, at the wedding of Cana. They were not her last words, obviously, but they're her last recorded words in the New Testament, were what she said to the wine stewards at the wedding at Cana. Whatever he tells you, do it. And the one who had the two, Master, I gained you two more. I was faithful with what you gave me. Master said to him, well done, same reward. For the one with five is the one with two. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And then the background music changes. Wouldn't it be nice if life came with background music? Like, you know, if the bad guys are about to show up, the music changes, right? Beware. Dum-di-dum-dum. Dum-di-dum-dum-dum. And the master turns to the one. Unfaithful, unbelieving, disobedient. And the one who had received the one talent. Master, I knew you to be a hard man. Lie number one. Reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid. And I went away. I was in disobedience. And I hid your talent in the ground. I didn't do what you called me to do. I didn't believe you. I was more concerned with my fear than living in my faith. I didn't let my faith motivate me. I let my fear control me. I was afraid. See, you have what's yours. But the master was not pleased. The master answered and said to him, you listen to these words. You wicked, lazy slave. I tell you what, I read words like this, it puts the fear of God into me. That on the great day, there are people whom are in the church. They received gifts from Jesus. They walked in disobedience. You know, this theme is repeated more than once in the New Testament. Previously in this chapter to the virgins who were not ready for the coming of the master. And those who were workers of iniquity, I don't know you. These are the scary parts of the New Testament. You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that you thought, this is what you believed, that I reap where I didn't sow, and you believed that I gathered where I scattered no seed, then you ought to have at least put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have had received some interest. Watch this now, because this is scary. This is a challenge for all of us. Because we can't just think, oh, I can live my life anyway. I'm saved by grace, the blood of Jesus. I'm forgiven. That's not what the Bible teaches. You are going to give an account for what God has entrusted to you. You are going to give an account for what God has entrusted to you. Verse 28, therefore, take away the talent from him. And give it to the one who is 10. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even that what he does have shall be taken away. Why? Because the one with the five and the one with the two proved himself faithful. I can trust you. So hear what you didn't, what was not originally given to you is now given to you because I can trust you. Take it from him. I can't trust him. This is not a Jesus we're used to hearing about. We need a biblical revelation of who he really is. And it's in here plainly revealed to us. The kingdom of God is like this. Now watch. This is so scary. Verse 30, cast out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, into that place where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know of scarier verses in the whole Bible than verses like this. I'm in those days of being challenged to obey, I'd read that. It would scare me to death. I said, Lord, I don't want you to be mad at me. I don't want that to be my end. I'm going to do it. I hate this. I'm afraid. I'm full of anxiety. I'm full of nervousness. I'm full of fear and unbelief and doubt and every negative thought and feeling that I could have. But I'm going to the traders. You told me to go and go to that Bible study and open that fill in the blank Bible story Bible study book. I'm going to do it. And I'm dragging my body. And all the demons are saying you shouldn't do it. You don't do this. Don't do that. Because I'm sharing this testimony because I'm just a guy just like you. Just saying, yes, I'll do it. Now I can look back and see the results of that. So there's the testimony of what happened. To encourage you to be people of faith and obedience using the talents that God has given you. Saying, yes, Lord, I'll do it, whatever it is. And there's more for all of us. I'm looking for more in my life. I know there's more in your life and more in your life and more in your life. Because if he finds you trustworthy, well, he can give you more and say, okay, good, I'll give you some more. Because I can trust you with this now and I can trust you with that now. But the other side of that is the taking away and the judgment. This is the scary parts of the Bible. And we have to be faithful to you and to one another to share the whole counsel of God. Not leave those bits out and not speak it because we don't want to scare you or offend you. Then I would be liable. And the Lord would say to me, why did you bury that? I put it there. Why did you not preach that? Why did you not teach it? Were you afraid that people wouldn't like you? Wouldn't put money in the offering? What was going on in your heart? Not me, beloved. Do my best to preach and teach the whole counsel of God. Behold, Romans chapter 11, behold the goodness and severity of God. It's all there for us, and we have to be faithful to him and to you and to one another to help one another not bury our talents. That sacred space between us we were talking about earlier, that question, what is the word of the Lord to you? What gifts do you have? What are you doing with it? Well, I got this gift, but I'm afraid, I don't know what to do. Okay, let's not let anything but obedience and faith define our lives. Let's do it together. I'll be there. I'll help you. I'll go with you. Come on, let's see what happens next. How exciting is that to walk in faith and see what'll happen next? Like, whoa. And then things happen, and who's the most surprised one? You are. Because the devil lied to you and you thought you'd die or be embarrassed or humiliated or nothing would happen. And the exact opposite actually unfolds before your very eyes. And you're in the land of wow. Because you took your gift to the traders. You went out into life. You went out into the adventure. You went out in obedience and in faith and said, Lord, here I am. I'm going to do what you're telling me to do. I pray that we would be such people, that we would pray prayers tonight of repenting of anything we buried and say, Lord, forgive me for burying my talents, my gifts, my calling, whatever, because I was afraid of other people. Forgive me. I am going to repent of that and go and do what you've called me to do, because I want you on the great day to say to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. I could trust you. I know I could trust you because there's a whole life of faithfulness. There's where you were obedient and you were faithful and you were obedient and you were faithful and you proved to me that I can trust you with my riches and authority in my kingdom. So here it is. Because in this life, with all its difficulties, with sin and Satan and suffering and crazy stuff that happens, in this world, we were obedient and we were faithful. And that's how God says, I can trust you. I can trust you. Enter in. Enter into this joy. And I have authority over my things that I want to trust you with. So, Lord, I pray that you would touch our lives and our hearts tonight. That we would be a people who say, yes, we'll obey. We won't let ourselves be defined by unbelief, anxiety, or worry, or any words that try to stop us, that cause us to bury our talent. We don't do that. We don't look with envy about anybody else's doing. Instead, we look at what you've put inside of us, and that'll take all of our time and energy to do that. Lord, I pray that we would be a faithful people. I pray for all of us, Lord, that every one of us, Lord, you'd look at us smiling and say, well done. Well done. You are a good and faithful servant. You took what I entrusted to you. You went to the traders. You multiplied it. I can trust you. You proved to me that I can trust you. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And now, be in authority over my possessions. Father, I pray that your word would be sealed with the Spirit of God and made alive to each one of us so that we would be that obedient, faithful, and fruitful people. And we would be helpers of one another to be obedient and faithful and fruitful people. In the name of Yeshua, I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.